You're listening to An Introduction to the Catholic Life.
Salve.
And welcome to An Introduction to the Catholic Life. I think last week, James, you introduced it as The Introduction to the Catholic Life.
It is The Introduction.
You know, it is The...
Whatever you
so
want.
Have we had a name change in my absence? A lot of things have changed. See, I'm not actually sure that the last episode was... it was certainly valid, but I'm not sure if it was listed.
There was a mutiny. We replaced you with a girl.
I heard this, yes.
And then yourself as well.
I did think that my voice had sort of gone up a few pitches, to be honest, at the beginning, and then I realised I wasn't there. But I had a very good time. I was away in Germany, and it was I had a lovely time there. Actually, I had a late summer bloom, and I had the opportunity to go to Cologne, to Münster as well, a couple of the historic cities in Germany, and it was great to see family as well, who you only ever see maybe once or twice a year, and so it was good also for a change to have a week in which I did absolutely nothing. It's so seldom that you have the opportunity to do so, apart from obviously do a little bit of reading and studying and so forth. But it was good to be away for a spell, and it was good to come back and feeling refreshed as well.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We actually nearly didn't have a full bench of all the podcasters here because we were struggling to find a time to record this week.
Mm. Living life on the edge, as always.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And also what's making me feel crazy is I've can hear like our neighbours rioting or something. I don't know.
I know.
Heard people going mental.
Say a prayer for them.
I'll say a prayer for them. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce the topic for this week. So it's a big topic, one that is, the Catechism tells us, vitally important, and that is the topic of prayer. Prayer is a huge topic, and there would be an inexhaustible list of things that we could cover in one podcast, so we're going to maybe be spreading this over two separate podcasts, but this is really just going to be talking and tackling what is prayer, not in too abstract a sense, but not really getting into the niche different types of prayer, which we'll probably do in kind of podcasts further down the line. But I wanted to start off with a quote from the Catechism and what that says on prayer. And prayer is one of these topics, I think the size of the topic is demonstrated when you look in the index of the Catechism. There's like 70 different points for like prayer. Anyway, one of the very first ones is, as I said just previously, how prayer is a vital necessity. So here are words from the Catechism.
That was lovely.
That was actually in the native language of Papua New Guinea. In English, for those who can't understand that, prayer is a vital necessity. Proof of the contrary is no less convincing. If we do not allow the Spirit to lead us, we will fall back into the slavery of sin. How can the Holy Spirit be our life if our heart is far from Him? So I think that's actually quite a good quote to start on, because there's quite a few... It doesn't nail down precisely what prayer is, but there's quite a few clues in that sentence as to what prayer is. So first of all, if we do not allow the Spirit to lead us, that's part of that sentence, so we can therefore assume that prayer is allowing the Spirit to lead us. So I suppose we can ask the Spirit to lead to this podcast.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. This is it.
Holy Spirit, take the wheel.
The Holy Spirit, take the wheel. Yeah, amazing. And it also references the fact that we will fall back into the slavery of sin should we neglect to pray. And also that last wee part, which is quite interesting as well, you know, how can the Holy Spirit be our life if our heart is far from Him? So assuming again that the desired effect of prayer is for the Holy Spirit to be our life and for our hearts to be close to God's. So it's quite an interesting wee point just to start on, actually. Maybe it might be a good place to start on what our experiences of prayer are and find it fulfilling those kind of axioms.
I think it's a way to deepen a relationship with God. You know, if you think about
often prayer we talked about as a way to strengthen your relationship with God, and you think about God as having a relationship with you, so you know, like a friendship or something along those lines, and prayer is a way of speaking to God, mm-hmm. From your heart, from your mind, and raising your mind and heart to God. So I think that's kind of what.
Yeah, that's one of the kind of definitions of prayer. Yeah. I don't know who said that. That may well be in the Catechism, actually.
It probably will be.
We're just going to quote the Catechism for this episode.
I don't know. So that would be where I would start off. You know, it's how we deepen our relationship with God, and it's almost like the starting point as well. I think, you know, you need prayer before anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important to highlight the fact as well that prayer is not something which immediately begins in the outward realm or in activity. Even it's something which comes from the interior realm, and that's something which sounds rather alien to most people. In fact, we live in a society which does not consider things which cannot be seen by the eyes, things which cannot be picked up by the senses. And so this whole concept of the interior life is something which is a little bit strange to a lot of people. But it is precisely in the interior realm that we encounter God. That is where, of course, the kingdom of God, that phrase which we hear so often in across the New Testament, that is precisely where the kingdom of God is found. This is something which Thomas a Kempis expresses really well, actually, in his Imitation of Christ. When he speaks of the inner life, he says, "The kingdom of God is within you, says the Lord. Turn yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord and let this sad world go, and your soul will find rest." And I think you find echoes of that in the writings of St. Augustine, of St. John of the Cross, all the great mystical teachers and masters of the Catholic faith have all found God in that interior realm. And I think that's helpful as a starting point if we are to crack open the essence of what prayer is, and equally what prayer is not.
Mm. Both what you've said, James and Rory, have actually kind of well summed up what you actually read from St. Jose Maria. So in his book, The Way on Prayer, he says, first prayer, then atonement, and in the third place, very much in the third place, action. So it's that kind of idea that prayer is that first step which leads towards a more full Catholic life. So I mean, it's very much, you know, a priority to get our prayer life and find God in that interior life. The interior life is something that you don't really even hear in all too many homilies, that, you know, the priest talking about that idea of interior life, that, you know, our participation in the divine life. But that is what prayer essentially allows us to do, and getting that divine life within us, that grace, finding God in that place, allows us to move past prayer, is what, well, not move past prayer, move through prayer towards, you know, kind of hopeful action.
In this modern world where we've always got something else that we could be doing, we, you know, when even when we've got a chance to take a break and sit down and have some silence, we pull out our phones or, you know, put on the PlayStation or something. We all do that. And so if you're struggling with prayer, I think it can often feel like you're doing God a favour by turning up to pray for, you know, a couple of minutes each day. And then you read the list of the saints and you see how much time they spent in prayer, it makes you feel quite ashamed. But because of that struggle of prayer, we can often think that, it's us doing something, it's us initiating something with God, but actually it's God who initiates prayer. It's Him who's constantly calling us to pray. And so when we go and spend that time of prayer, He's there waiting for us and He's been calling us to that, which is, I think, if you turn it around and don't think about it as much as, you know, a chore you have to do, but actually a kind of an invitation. You know, God has asked us to this first, God's loved us first, and we're merely responding to his love and his the prompts of the Spirit that you said at the beginning.
We have an existential desire for prayer, and it's interesting actually just talking about the phones as well. I was in a talk recently and they said, you know, how quickly in a situation when you're suddenly alone or in a new situation do you pull your phone out? And what is that? I mean, maybe, you know, it's a bit contrived, but you know, that is that, you know, we're kind of looking for connection, we're looking for, you know, some sort of connection to another by, you know, looking at the phone to check if we've got a message or what have you. But really that is kind of, that points towards that deeper longing that we have as human beings to interact with the other, and the most perfect interaction is that with God in prayer. So I don't know if anyone, if it's a practical tip every time you're tempted to pull out your phone, say a wee prayer. But I mean, you know, that's another way that we can fulfil that call that St. Paul, or that demand that St. Paul makes of us, which seems almost impossible when you read it, you know, but to pray without ceasing. But we do have that, you know, we are made for prayer.
Mm-hmm. That when you're talking about just kind of, you know, instead of pulling out your phone, saying a prayer and then talking about St. Paul, I mean, in the East we have this whole tradition of the Jesus prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's for that purpose. I mean, it started in the monasteries, but it's become quite widespread and kind of particularly within the Eastern Rite of the Church, but it's also in the West. You know, just in this short prayer that you can say whenever. And actually, the idea is if you say it so much in your head, it eventually just goes on throughout your head, but mm-hmm. even when you're not actually thinking about it, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you can just say that over and over and over again. And then, or even, you know, if you've got a break, or, you know, you've got a wee bit of time, or what, or even if you're really busy and you've just got, you know, you're turning the page in your notebook before you start taking more notes, like, say that prayer, and then you're kind of, you are at least attempting to do what St. Paul called us to do and praying unceasingly.
Mm-hmm. It's important to see in many ways that prayer is the proper context for day-to-day life. We often speak of God as being the great author, the great storyteller, and you can translate that down to the day-to-day realities of human life. Of course, every single day which we ourselves live is a page written in that book which God has written. But what context is that page going to be found within? Is it going to be found within the chaos of day-to-day life which we're so used to, or is it going to be found within the context of prayer? There's nothing more fruitful for day-to-day life, as chaotic as it may be, than to begin the day with simple prayers in the morning and to conclude the day with our prayers in the evenings. And that can include, of course, our petitions, our desires, our sorrow and so forth. All these things which you experience during the day, they have to be channeled correctly, I suppose. They have to be expressed correctly. And there's no better way of doing so than communication with He who is the great author of life itself, and that is God. Prayer is conversation with God. It is communion with God. It's something which has been beautifully expressed by many, many teachers, you know, far more formed in the ways of prayer than ourselves, of course. But it's been, there's a reason that there's a common strand there. All these men and women across the ages have found that common strand in prayer and conversation with God, and we should take a hint from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the saints were people who built their day around prayer rather than try to fit prayer into their day. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I guess, is in the mindset we need to try to get into as Catholics more and more, to remind ourselves that actually the most important thing you can do in that day is to spend time in prayer. And that can, you know, that can seem unrealistic, and you can kind of convince yourself otherwise when you've got so much to do. You know, if you're, you know, you've got a job and you've got, you know, family, you've got commitments, these sorts of things, you can easily say, well, no, actually, that's not the most important thing. But it's just helpful, isn't it, to keep returning to the things like the Catechism or the lives of the saints, and we see that this is true. We need to have prayer as the centre of our day and then build up around from that.
Prayer is, in effect, the correct ordering of one's life in many ways. That's something which is so important today, of course, where, as you say, Connor, we order our prayer lives not so much in and of itself or from itself, but rather around the working day. So you might well squeeze in your trip to Mass, for instance, during your lunch break at work, instead of going to Mass before work, just an example. Equally, you will try to finish that last piece of work, your essay or whatever you might have to do, your article or whatever else, before you turn to God in prayer, and you sort of rush that in a couple of minutes at the end of the day. It's about the correct ordering of life. Which comes first? Is it day-to-day life or is it prayer? Well, you can't really have correct day-to-day life unless you have prayer come before that. It's sort of an a priori thing, really. Mm-hmm. And that explains, I think, why so many individuals, certainly in the West and perhaps in other contexts as well, are so desperately unhappy. We've ordered our lives in such a way that we have ceased that conversation with God. And if only we were to begin it again, both as individuals and secondarily as societies also, we would find ourselves to be in certainly a less catastrophic existential crisis as we find ourselves in today.
Mm. That actually hits on one thing that I wanted to draw back to. That, you know, that first quote that we read from the Catechism, prayer is a vital necessity. Proof from the contrary is no less convincing. We will all be able to, you know, say that. The time where you know that you've got a good relationship with God, you feel most fulfilled, is the times where you're praying more. And there was a kind of, there's quite a kind of famous anecdote from Mother Teresa. I'm sure she was in an interview, and I'll be paraphrasing here, but someone asked her, you know, in such a busy day, how do you fit in the time to pray? And she said, well, you know, I build my day around my prayer. And really, you know, so every morning we pray for an hour, or on days that we know we're going to be busy, we pray for 2 hours in the morning. So it's that kind of, you know, she really understood that prayer came before anything else. And she, you know, I mean, she affected the lives of countless thousands, no doubt. Yet she still knew that's what she had to get right first. But it's funny how kind of often we all, I mean, everyone does this, everyone, you know, everyone could be praying more, I suppose. But we assume that the more we pray, you know, the more bored we'll be, you know, the more saintly we are, the more uninteresting our lives will be. But actually, if we look, like Connor, you said earlier on, when we looked at the lives of the saints, the amount of time they spent in prayer and how incredible their lives were and how happy they were and how that affected so many other people, it's, you know, it speaks for itself. And yet we live in a society, Rudy, as you're saying as well, you know, that has turned its back on that, and people are desperately unhappy, and it's not a coincidence. You know, people would like to say that, or, you know, we're only becoming aware of unhappiness and mental health and all that sort of stuff these days. Well, actually, this is a society that has completely and utterly turned its back on God, and on prayer, and on nourishing that interior life that we should hope to foster by prayer and sacraments, and people are unhappy. It goes to no wonder.
Yeah, I think we need God in our lives. And there are times in our life when we come to realise that we rely on God. There'll be times where there might be struggles in your life, and that'll be the time you turn to prayer. You know, and we often, that's, for a Catholic, that can be the natural response. But it's when things are going along ordinary, you know, that's when prayer can sometimes be harder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's that idea that if you're not praying, then you are turning your back on God. You know, you're not inviting God into your daily life, which is what you should want, and actually, you know, that will help your daily life. And it's not a very hard thing. You know, thinking about Mother Teresa and you think about her extraordinary life, it might seem quite distant to ours, and 1 hour in the morning or 2 hours if you're busy, you know, seems like impossible, but prayer isn't impossible. Prayer's quite simple. And praying throughout the day, small prayers, just speaking to God and inviting God into your life in certain ways, is actually not that hard.
And also just even like offering your simple tasks each day to Him as well. It's the thing, you know, the sanctification of work. Actually, before you start a task, offering it to God and saying, look, this is boring. I'm just going to be spending a day doing, you know, my usual stuff, but I'm offering this up to you because this is what I have to do at the moment. And then you do that, exactly, James, like you were saying, you invite Him into that situation rather than keeping Him outside, you know, by bringing Him in and connecting with him through prayer. Then you bring Him into your everyday situation, and then, you know, you could be saying your prayers when you're doing the dishes before you go to work, and then whenever you're doing your work, and then when you come back home, and you can try to build up that routine of just offering everything to Him each day. Which would then, you know, ideally then make you think that at the end of the day you've not done something which is worthless, even if your work has been rubbish. Like, you still give it to God. So, I mean,
mm-hmm. Prayer is never worthless. It's the one commonality between times of desolation and times of gratitude, for argument's sake. Both when we fail, when we are perhaps put upon, and in those times when we might well have been relatively successful in worldly terms and so forth, prayer must be at the centre of both. And this is something, again, which we find in that great tapestry which the Church has in the communion of the saints. The Church has had and does have poor saints and rich or wealthy saints alike, both those who were perhaps a little unfortunate in terms of their lot in the context of their earthly lives, and those who were materially rather wealthy. Prayer is not alien to either, and should not be alien to either situation. It is that which binds man to another, and each of those children to their Father, who is God. It's something which must be found in common, and is found in common in all situations, irrespective of what those situations may be. And that's precisely the task which we have to take up now in equal measure.
And whenever you get into a routine of prayer, then it brings peace and stability into that as well. I mean, I think we all struggle with keeping on top of prayer in our daily lives. And one way that I've found helpful and is just actually having more of a structure, you know, just maybe it's just the way that I work, but saying, you know, I will say these prayers in the morning and I'll say these prayers in the evening or whatever. It means that you just kind of compulsively do it because you're kind of committed to that time frame, and then you're less likely to get distracted and things like that, because you said I'm setting this time aside. And that's, you know, easier said than done, because you still wake up days and you're behind schedule and then things fall apart. But I think it does help just to have you know, set times if you can throughout your day, even if it is only, you know, for 10-15 minutes each time, just giving something over there. Then you've got that time where you're not going to look at your phone, you're going to, you know, sit and look at a crucifix or go to the chapel or whatever, and just give that time to God.
And it sets that hierarchy of priorities right when we do it that way as well. I mean, I think there's many saints that, you know, definitely recommend having a prayer routine, even down to like specific times when you're going to do things. Because if you set out your day and you know that at 12 o'clock you're going to say the Angelus, and at 6 o'clock at night you're going to say your rosary or what have you, you know, what's that saying to God? Well, God, my day's going to work around you. And one of the things that Pope Benedict speaks about in the Spirit of the Liturgy and a few other of his books as well is this is with regards to worship, but it can work the same with prayer. You know, authentic worship is when the relationship between creature and creator is restored, and that putting God as our sole priority is exactly where that relationship should be. And as a result, you know, we are more fulfilled when we do start out our day like that. As difficult as it may seem, but that's the lived experience.
And that's something which is entirely inherent to human nature. We follow certain patterns. Human beings have always prayed in one form or another. Equally, we see this in other things that we say and we do. We generally tend to eat at certain times of the day because it is good for us to eat at certain times of the day. You have your breakfast early in the morning, lunch, and then you've got dinner later on in the evening. Well, there's a reason for that, and we know it's good for us to stick to those times. That's something which is found in sort of the physical person, but equally we can apply that same template to the spiritual person in equal measure, or rather it's the other way around. It's because the spiritual person is so constituted that the body must also follow that same sort of pattern. It's interesting, however, and this is sort of touching on something which you said, Connor, when you spoke of looking at a crucifix can be an act of prayer or something which is prayerful. Prayer is something which can be sensory as well. It is something which is embracing of all the senses of the human person. And I think it's appropriate perhaps to make the comparison between prayer and sight. We use sight in the physical person to have a look at what's going around us and so forth, and there are various reasons for that, of course. But equally, prayer is that which shines God's light before us in the spiritual life. I think that's an important point. There's a wonderful writer, a late writer actually, who used to head up the Russian Orthodox Church in the UK, Metropolitan Anthony, who wrote a number of very good books, and he makes this same point. He wrote in a very good book, God and Man, he wrote, "We can pray at moments when we become aware of our blindness, and we can include in this term whatever makes us blind to God and to all that surrounds us, and when we sense that the one who can cure us is passing near. Prayer arises at moments when we become deeply aware of our separation, of the fact that our life is suspended over death, that nothingness is within us and lapping round us from all sides, ready to engulf us. And when we turn our gaze towards others, in place of that despair linked to an ultimate hope, which is the hope that Bartimaeus had. It is compassion which awakes in us, the capacity to suffer deeply, intensely, not the suffering of the other, for one can never suffer the suffering of another, nor ever understand another, but one can suffer from the fact that he is suffering, in a mysterious way beyond all experience, participate, here's the key point, within this unity of the body of Christ in the common suffering which is his." I think that's a very beautiful and well-expressed point, that prayer is that which allows us to see God's light before us, in the same way that we have to use our eyes to see things which are before us when we go about our day-to-day life. Prayer shows us the way forward in the spiritual life.
I thought there was a good wee kind of thing that I read again in the way, actually, on prayer, and I've lost it. But so the way, for anyone who's not heard us quote it before, by the way, is like either little things that St. Jose Maria said to himself or things that he responded to people he was given spiritual direction to. So this point says, you write, to pray is to talk with God, but about what? St. Jose Maria replied, about what? About him, about yourself, joys, sorrows, successes and failures, noble ambitions, daily worries, weaknesses, and acts of thanksgiving and petitions, and love and reparation. In a word, to get to know him, and to get to know yourself, to get acquainted.
And I think that's what that point was making there, when it's saying, you know, it's the path towards the spiritual life, mm-hmm. is by praying. And so it's a funny thing, you need to pray to improve your prayer. Do you know what I mean? It's, yeah. And it's one of those things that prayer is needed. You know, you'll say, you can say prayers for praying before you pray. Mm-hmm. You know, then that would often be something that people do, is that, you know, they say a prayer to invoke the Holy Spirit so that their prayer is fruitful, and that they start to get to know God better. And this doesn't happen unless you pray. Mm-hmm. And people often say as well, you know, they find prayer difficult because it's, you know, a conversation with God for some people, and they'll say, well, I don't know God. And it's not till you try, it's not till you start mm-hmm. doing it that you move towards that. So, mm-hmm. and I think that's expressed in both of those points.
Yeah. And if you're beginning as well, like, just important to remember that you can just say, you don't have to say anything as well. You know, some points in your prayer, you don't have anything really to say, and you can just sit in silence and just acknowledge that God is there with you. Obviously, that's more perfectly done when you're in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, but even in your bedroom or wherever you are praying, like, just acknowledging that God's there with you, and you can sit in silence if you want to and say a few words, tell him about your day, tell him what you're going, you know, how you could do better and these sorts of things. And it can be very simple. I mean, some people think that you've got to be sitting there rhyming off Hail Marys and things like that, and you can do that if you want, but it can just be very simple as well, which is helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm. And when prayer's difficult, I remember I was at a meditation a long time ago with a priest, actually, who's since died. But I remember it because he had a really kind of funny voice. He kind of couldn't quite speak properly. He kind of breathed when he spoke. But anyway, so that's just a bit of an anecdote. But he said, you know, when prayer is difficult, it's not a tragedy. Actually, you know, the most fervent souls have been kind of formed in difficult prayer. I'm paraphrasing probably, but you know, his point was, you know, when we sit before God not knowing how to pray, actually that prayer can actually be a lot more efficacious than someone who is very comfortable with prayer, because it's that initial step towards God. And you know, God, Connor, you said prayer is, you know, it's our responding to something that God has put within our hearts, but that initial step, the graces that we can reap from that, you know, can't be understated.
I think as well, you know, if prayer's difficult, I often would just use the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be, you know, and those are really simple prayers that, you know, we should use words that have been given to us.
Yeah, exactly. Scriptural as well.
Yeah. Rather than always using our own words, that can be difficult to express in your own words how you feel, but how you feel you can put into those prayers, and it helps to meditate on.
I found as well, I think that if you use set prayers that the church has given us, then they in some way just become your own prayer. After a wee while, they just become your own prayer. You start using words in your conversation where, you know, which are obviously from prayers, or you remember phrases, or you remember, you know, and these come up in your head during prayer, and you kind of in some way take those prayers and make them your own whenever you pray them.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the church in its wisdom obviously has given us all these, and particularly I'm thinking of you know, the kind of liturgy of the hours. You know, they are not solely for this reason, but certainly they are very useful for those who really don't feel like praying. Mm-hmm. You know, when we read the words of the Psalms, which, you know, Jesus prayed perfectly, as we've said before in the podcast, but when we read those prayers in morning, noon, night, and they've been said all around the world, you know, they become our prayer. And, you know, prayer shouldn't actually, you know, we've already said, you know, about it should be at certain times in the day. it shouldn't be just whenever we feel like it, because truth be told,
we'd never pray.
We'd never pray. I certainly know I could go, you know, a week without feeling like I want to pray, but I know that I need to. You know, in that, in the Penny Catechism, you know, one of the very first few questions is to what do I owe more of a, I'll be paraphrasing this, but to what do I owe more of a priority, my body or my soul? And it's chiefly, I owe my soul more care. I'm definitely paraphrasing. but suffice to say that, you know, we need to take care of our spiritual lives. And that, you know, if it's regimented, not excessively perhaps, but if it's within reason, regimented, that's a good way of, as you said, Rory, making sure we get that timely nourishment that we need.
Yeah, because if you're going to want to lose some weight, you go out running every night and every day, and you keep up with it, or else you're not going to get to that end goal of losing weight. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. If you want to pursue the Catholic life and live the Catholic life well, and get to know the Lord and become a saint, which is what we're ultimately called to be, then we need to be serious about prayer as well.
So, I mean, I suppose we can go back to catechism, but one interesting point I want to just read was... It would be perfect for the podcast if I said Catholic life, because it would just kind of work.
Just change it.
Be more eponymous. But prayer and the Christian life are inseparable. For they concern the same love and the same renunciation proceeding from the same love, the same filial and loving conformity with the Father's plan of love. That goes on. But, you know, that's really what we've been getting at, you know, that the Catholic life is not possible without prayer. And we started off by saying it's a vital necessity. So just to finish, I wanted to read this quote that has quite a thought-provoking end, so bear with me. Nothing is equal to prayer. For what is impossible, it makes possible. For what is difficult, easy. For it is impossible, utterly impossible, for the man who prays eagerly and invokes God ceaselessly ever to sin. Those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I need to pray more. So do you, probably.
But isn't it one of the main points which Christ communicates during his life? He teaches us about the primacy of prayer, and hopefully we've at least covered some of the whys and also some of the hows of prayer. It's only an introduction to prayer, of course. And
indeed.
I'm sure there's a lot more to come in our second podcast, when we'll hopefully try to unpack a little bit of what we've discussed in this first half.
I mean, you could probably do a weekly podcast just on prayer and go for years and years and years just talking about prayer. I mean, we're never going to...
The amount that's written about it is, like, I mean, even in the catechism, it's enormous, so...
It'd be good, I'd enjoy that. I'd come in.
Let's just start doing that.
Well, my prayer life this week...
introduction to the prayer life.
Very good.
I had a baguette, and it was quite spicy, and I thought, God, help me eat this baguette. And I brought God into my life.
Next time I have a spicy baguette, I'm going to remember that.
There's probably some saints out there who...
Patron saint of spicy baguettes. That might be, no. your patronage.
Rudy had a spicy dinner when we were eating dinner before we recorded this, and he was trying to put pepper on his pasta, and the peppercorns fell out and went out all over the place. It was quite
a disaster.
It happened to the best person. I mean.
Speaking of prayer, however, it might well be worth us bringing one particular intention to your minds, and that would be we would ask you to pray for the upcoming Synod on Young People, the Faith and Vocation, which begins next week in Rome. It's a very important meeting with the Holy Father and a gathering of bishops in Rome, during which they will discuss over a 3-week period, I believe, the role that young people have to play in the church, and how best they can fulfil their vocation as inspired by God. And so we would ask you to pray for particularly Scotland's own representative, Archbishop Cushley, from Archdiocese of St Andrews in Edinburgh, who's heading out to Scotland's representative, and all the other bishops and the Holy Father, as well, as they seek to discern the path forward.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, we're also
listening to a song called Jesus Take the Wheel before it, because
it's not usually it's not the usual type of music we listen to, but Sean was remembered the phrase and thought there's definitely a song called Jesus Take the Wheel, so went to put it onto YouTube. I wouldn't recommend it, it's not very good. If you're one of the kind of charismatic folk, you might like it, but
there's probably someone out there who's like, that's one of my favourites.
That's my jam.
Yeah. Sorry if that's your favourite song, but I don't think it's very good.
Sorry, not sorry.
Oh dear.
Jesus take the
wheel. And with that, I will take the wheel back from Jesus. Oh, I think that's a bit
scandalous.
That's a bit scandalous, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
you're going to hell.
This podcast needs to end. I need to put the brakes on. But no.
Emergency stop.
Well, here's to prayer. Here's to the synod. I hope that goes well. And yeah, do pray for that. And until the next time, here's to the pint, the mic, and the cross. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. See you next week.